Namaskar.
Bienvenue.
I'm from Bangalore, India.
Dublin, Ireland.
Turkey.
The Philippines.
This is Feet into Words.
I came here to study.
To work.
To volunteer.
Build a life of my own.
Welcome to Feet into Worlds.
Esto es Con los pies en dos mundos.
Bir ayağım burada, bir ayağım orada yaşıyorum.
Welcome to Feet into Worlds.
U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, the agency known as ICE, has a website where they track the number of states and counties that have joined the federal program called Secure Communities. Since it began in 2008, the numbers have been going up. Now it looks like they may have to come down. I'm John Rudolph, executive producer of Feet in Two Worlds. On June 1st, Governor Andrew Cuomo suspended New York's participation in Secure Communities, and immigrant advocates are calling Cuomo's decision a victory. For an explanation and a look at the controversy over Secure Communities, I'm joined by two journalists from El Diario, the Spanish language daily in New York. Catalina Jaramillo has been covering this issue for El Diario and Feet in Two Worlds. Hi, Catalina.
Hi, John.
And joining us on the phone is Maybe Ponet. She's the editor of El Diario's editorial page. Hi, Maybe.
Hi, John.
Maybe, what is Secure Communities and why was it established in the first place?
Secure Communities is a federal program that began in 2008 as part of the Obama administration efforts to increase immigration enforcement. Despite its name, Secure Communities, the program has been highly controversial because it has failed to deliver its main promise, which was to identify and remove the worst of the worst, of the unauthorized immigrants. In effect, what Secure Communities has done is they have removed a large number of people who are, first of all, not unauthorized.
In other words, who are in the country legally.
Right. Legal immigrants who have minor or no criminal records.
Wasn't Secure Communities also started by the Obama administration as a relatively uncontroversial program, unlike building the border fence between the U.S. and Mexico or worksite raids? This was seen kind of as a more low-level, below-the-radar kind of program that they could use to burnish their immigration enforcement credentials.
In 2008, when Obama was running, as you might remember, one of his campaign promises was to pass immigration reform. And immigration reform is a highly complicated issue. In order to make a case, he needed to improve enforcement. It was part of his way of building a record that he will eventually, could present to the Republicans and say, I have been working to crack down illegal immigration. It sounds very benign, and its name is highly misleading because it suggests that you simply, that the police is doing what it should do, which is look for people who have broken the law and get rid of them. But the problem is the so-called secure communities have created frictions between local police and communities, as people are particularly, immigrants, not only undocumented immigrants, but also documented immigrants, are afraid of going to the police because they know that even if they have committed a very minor crime, and I'm talking about jumping a turnstile, a subway turnstile, or breaking a transit law, they might be put on the road to deportation. And, that's highly problematic.
Secure Communities has been an Obama administration priority, and the federal government has a goal of full implementation of the program by the year 2013. But as we've been saying, the program's been widely criticized, and Governor Cuomo has now decided to pull New York out of Secure Communities. Catalina, what reasons did the Cuomo administration give for this action?
The point of Secure Communities is to detect and deport serious criminals who are undocumented. We're talking about crimes like rape, child abuse, murder, and terrorism. But through a Freedom of Information Act request, immigration advocates found that 79% of the individuals deported through Secure Communities either lacked any criminal record or have been convicted only of minor offenses like traffic violations. So what's actually happening is that immigrants who have not been convicted of any crime of have been arrested for low-level crimes, and some who are actually here legally are being transferred to ICE and deported. So it appears that Cuomo have been listening to these arguments. Cuomo has said that he has concern by this program, that he was going to review it, and that local and state authorities should not step into the shoes of the federal government because he wanted people to feel comfortable coming forward to the police if they were crime victims or had witnesses crime.
So before we talk about the political maneuvering that led to Governor Cuomo's decision, another question. Very briefly, how does secure communities work?
John, it's all about sharing fingerprints between local law enforcement and the federal government. Already, when somebody gets arrested, their fingerprints are sent to the FBI to check their criminal record. Once Secure Communities is activated, those fingerprints are also shared with the Department of Homeland Security to check if that person is in the country legally. The result of that search is sent to the local ICE official, so for example, the ICE office here in New York, and they decide if they're going to take action. ICE says Secure Communities imposes no additional requirements on state or local police, but immigrant advocates say that Secure Communities increases racial profiling, just like Arizona's SB 1070, and stops immigrants from reporting crimes.
Maibe, pressure to pull New York out of Secure Communities actually began last year, and it was directed at the former governor, David Paterson. What can you tell us about what happened in the Cuomo administration to lead to this decision? Who had the governor's ear on this subject, and what were the specific arguments that persuaded him to make this decision?
John, I think the immigrant advocate community did a remarkable job at explaining, you know, the problems with this program, not only to the governor's office, but also to other elected officials so they could eventually, you know, also reach out to the government. And as you said, this all started last year when former Governor David Paterson signed the Memorandum of Agreement that included New York State in the program. Secure Communities is problematic at multiple levels. What the advocates did was to, they made the case that, number one, Secure Communities is not a law. Even though it's issued by the federal government, Secure Communities is a program of ICE. And it was conceived and presented as a volunteer program. It was optional for the states to participate or not.
And counties to participate as well. So it's subscribed to on a state-by-state and county-by-county basis.
Correct. So ICE had to, and it's been reaching out to all the states. I think they have so far signed up 46. But that was the number they have in their website. And they have successfully got them to participate in the program, partly because the Memorandum of Agreement, you know, sounded benign. You can be part of it and you can opt out whenever you want.
The Memorandum of Agreement being the agreement between ICE and the individual state who participates in Secure Communities, which lays out the specific relationship between the state and the federal authorities.
Correct. And in fact, you know, I think it's also, you know, once the state signs the Memorandum of Agreement, then ICE had to continue the work of persuading and convincing counties to be part of it.
So there's a political lobbying process that's going
right
on here, what I'm hearing from you, both from ICE trying to convince states and counties to be part of the program, and by immigration advocates and elected officials who either represent immigrant communities or are themselves immigrants, trying to convince the state not to participate. Catalina, a number of counties in New York are already signed up for Secure Communities. What's going to happen to them? Will they have to stop sharing the information with the federal government about the immigration status of people who've been arrested?
Yes. According to the governor's office, all 31 counties that have already activated Secure Communities now must suspend their participation, which means the fingerprints that they collect can no longer be sent to the Department of Homeland Security. How this will be enforced by the state is unclear. We know some counties in the state have been participating for a few months and are unhappy about Cuomo's decision of suspending the program. Steve Levy, the county executive of Suffolk County on Long Island, called Cuomo's decision a horrendous setback for anyone interested in enforcing our immigration laws.
Now, New York is the second state to take this action. First came Illinois, as well as Washington, D.C., or the District of Columbia. California is also looking at possibly pulling out of secure communities. But the federal government says that opting out of secure communities is not possible. Can New York actually pull out, or is Cuomo's action largely symbolic?
Now, this is one of the big points of confusion about secure communities. Initially, ICE said participation was voluntary. Now they're saying participation is mandatory. But there is a contract between the state and the federal government called the Memorandum of Agreement that Maybe was talking about, which was signed by Governor Patterson and ICE in May of 2010. The Memorandum of Agreement says that the agreement will remain in effect until terminated by either party. It says, either party, upon 30 days written notice to the other party, may terminate the MOA at any time. So critics of secure communities and New York State officials say ICE cannot compel participation in the program. It's not clear who is right, and we probably have not heard the last word on whether New York or any other state can opt out of secure communities.
Maybe, what is the significance of New York's move for the Obama administration's immigration policies? Doesn't this raise questions about the effectiveness of the administration's enforcement focus?
Absolutely. I think it raises questions about how ICE has conducted its business in the last 2 years. It raises questions about how committed the administration is in on immigrant issues. I do believe Governor Cuomo's decision sends a strong message to the rest of the country on how, you know, immigration policies can be made. They can be made on a vacuum. What might work on, you know, in Kansas might not work in New York. So it's not as easy as coming here and tell us what we should do. We have, as you said, we have a significant immigrant population. New York has a history of integration and working with immigrants. This is who we are. And I do think this decision puts a lot of pressure on President Obama.
And Catalina, even as New York takes this action to rescind secure communities, there's lots of pressure on the other side to actually step up even more enforcement. So this must leave the administration in a very, very difficult position.
Yeah. I mean, the context right now is that Obama is under great pressure from both sides. The right wing and the Republicans want immigration laws to be enforced, and especially with criminals. And then all the immigration advocates want the immigration reform. They want immigration reform first and then enforcement. So Obama is kind of in the middle, and what the immigrant advocates are feeling is that even though this approach of the administration of increasing enforcement through the criminal side could be okay, what they're seeing is that there's no push for immigration reform at the same time. They would like to see both. Like, as Obama said, we're going to increase enforcement in a way to get the other people to think about immigration reform, but they haven't been seeing that. They only see the bad side. They only see the enforcement side being up and up, more and more deportations, and they don't see Obama with a clear push for immigration reform.
Catalina Jaramillo is a reporter with El Diario and a former Feet in Two Worlds reporting fellow. Catalina, thank you.
Thank you, John.
And Maybe Ponet is the editorial page editor of El Diario and also a former contributor to Feet in Two Worlds. Thanks, Maybe.
Thank you, John.
The producers for this segment are Sarah Kate Kramer, Jocelyn Gonzalez, and Dimple Patel. Our engineer is Chad Bernhard. I'm John Rudolph. Thanks for listening.
Feet in Two Worlds is supported by the New York Community Trust and the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, with additional support from the Mertz Gilmore Foundation and the Cyrus Fund. This program was produced in association with the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism and CUNY TV. Feet in Two Worlds brings the work of immigrant journalists to public radio and the web. We are a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School. Visit our website at news.feetintoworlds.org.